Blog Talk Radio.
Make sure that everybody is lined up with the scriptures.
for the simple fact that this is critical. Without this, you are none of his. You know, it is, he says, without this, then are we bastards. If he doesn't chastise us, he chastises his own. But to become his, you got to be baptized in his spirit, by his spirit. And this is a literal thing. So, you know, I want to set this up in such a way that we understand that the Most High is a spirit. That is who and what he is. And he says, I'm going to pour out of my spirit, out of myself, upon all flesh. After Messiah is crucified. And he said that this promise was to as many as he should call, down through the generation. Now the generation is the generating of the sons of Elohim. That's the generation he's talking about. And that generation doesn't have a time period on it. You know, we will say that a generation is 40 years. And, you know, today maybe 50 or 60 years, 70 years, when how long a generation lives, that generation of people that are born in this same time period. But that word generation also means to produce. So you're generating something. And what he's generating are the sons of Elohim. And so that time period is not tied to just one human generation. It's tied to the generating of human beings over time. So in each human generation, there are some sons of Elohim that are generated. People that come to him with their whole heart and turn themselves over to him, and he fills them with his spirit. He begats them. Okay? He fills them with his spirit. So we hear the scripture say, beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. So this is one of those areas where you will find many teachings out there on the internet, in different church denominations, in the camps. But we want truth. And we want what thus saith the word of Elohim concerning this. Because, again, without this, you cannot enter into the kingdom, period. You know, you can try to be good. You can try to, you know, keep the law. You can try to, you know, do your best. But this is a must. Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the spirit. So this is an area in part of Yah's salvation that every saint needs to have and needs to know and needs to understand. And when we either are not properly taught it, or we are stiff-necked and we don't want to, you know, well, it ain't all about all that. When we don't want to come out of our comfort zone, I would just put it to you this way. Wouldn't you want to know that you know that you know that you know? Wouldn't you want to have the same experience that is described in this book, so that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you know that you are and you belong to the Most High Elohim? How serious it is. And so, you know, as I said, over the years, I'm 63 now. When I was 21, the Most High gave me the truth concerning this. I started seeking it out. But, you know, I was still worldly at the same time. Still wanted to do some things out in the world. And I knew what was required, but I was still trying to hold on to a piece of the world, too. Okay, and so I'm here to tell you as a personal testimony, a personal witness, that you can't be trying to hold on to anything in this world. You got to want the Most High Elohim with everything that you have. And so, you know, he's got to be the most important thing in your life. And this is just, you know, just a fact. You can't be kind of wanting it or kind of doubting it or, you know, don't kind of believe but don't believe. And, I don't want to do X. You know, whatever the Most High wants you to do, you should be open to doing it. So this is critical. Let's go ahead and let's do our statement of faith. I wanted to open that up like that this today because out of all the lessons ever taught, this has to be the most important one. Out of all of them taught, because you need to know who the Most High is, and then you need to know how do you become his child. Because, you know, Messiah came. He says, I came to give you the power to become a child of Elohim, the power to become. Well, then that begs the question. If I have to become, then I'm not it yet until I become it. And so a lot of churches, a lot of organizations just say, when you get baptized, oh, you got it. But that's not what happens. That happens to some people. See, as I said before, there's no absolute. You can get the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, before you get baptized in water. Still got to get baptized in water. You can get the Ruach HaKodesh after you get baptized in water. Or you can never get him at all. At all. Just running around trying to be good, but never receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is, like I said, out of all the lessons that I ever teach, all the precepts, this is probably the most important because, as I said, if this doesn't happen to you, then you are going through the motions. Okay, and you need to understand that. Every person needs to understand that if this doesn't happen to you, then you're going through the motions. Okay, so let's do our statement of faith. And I know that the enemy is busy. I am on call, so if I get paged, you know, we'll do the necessary. But I want each and every person to understand that this is the most important lesson or precept that I ever teach for the simple reason you got to know. Okay, our statement of faith. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads, the men uncover their heads. Let us turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, 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 Father. Thank you, Father. We glorify Father, we lift you up. We magnify your name, Father. You truly are worthy, Father. We look forward to you, Father. We look forward to your spirit. We look forward to being filled by you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you glory and we give you honor and we give you praise today. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Let's go to the book of Genesis. No, actually, we're going to do 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. 1 Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee. And give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses' servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5, verse 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 27 or through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims which you have not known. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. Let us start this off. Father, I want to pray for all those people who are in Louisiana and Mississippi and those areas who are affected by this hurricane. Father, we know that everything is in your hand. And you said, is there evil that happens in a place that you have not caused? So, Father, we pray that all that you have your arms around, that they are safe. And all that you have brought judgment on, that they be judged. Let your perfect will be done, Father, in the forest fires, in everything in this world, Father, let it be your will that be done. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. The Holy Spirit. The root meaning of the Hebrew word translated spirit and of the Greek word translated spirit are identical. The meaning is wind, breath, and air. This thing today in our English words, pneumonia, pneumatic, mnemonic, etc., all of which refer to air, wind, or breath, and of which are built on the Greek word pneuma, or spirit. When we say Holy Spirit, we are simply referring to the Spirit of Yah, or Yah himself. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. So let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 5. And shalom. The book of Acts, chapter 5.
Hello.
How you doing, my sister?
I'm doing great, brother. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. The book of Acts, chapter 5. And we're going to be getting verses 3 and 4. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart, that thou hast not lied unto men, but unto Elohim? So when we see that when we are, the scriptures refer to the Holy Spirit, it's talking about, or the Holy Ghost, it's talking about the Spirit of Elohim himself. Now, we've had these discussions and these precepts before, but we want to reiterate it here because this topic is really designed for this subject. So the Holy Spirit was active in the creation of the world and is now active in the recreation of the people in the image of Messiah, in the image of Christ. What is the difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit? The expression Holy Ghost is found in the King James Version of the Bible. And the expression Holy Spirit is found in the modern versions of the Bible, as well as books of doctrine and theology. According to William W. Stevens in Doctrines of the Christian Religion, the King James Version of the Bible, wherever the Greek word for spirit, pneuma, is found by itself, it is translated with spirit. So let's make sure we understand that. When it don't use holy, when you don't say the Holy Spirit, this word pneuma is used for spirit, which means spirit. But when you use the word holy with it, somehow they changed it from that same word, they translated it ghost. So when the scripture says the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Pneuma, instead of translating it Pneuma into spirit again, they translated it ghost. Now that is a mistranslation on the translators. So why they did that, nobody knows. But the truth of the matter is where you see Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit are one and the same. Okay, and so it's a mistranslation to use the word ghost, but that's what they got in the book, so that's what we'll read. But understand that there's no difference between Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost. They are one and the same. Okay, so let us get into what does the scripture say about the Spirit of Elohim. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And give me a hot second here. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And Yah Elohim formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, this breath of life, breath, wind, people also want to interpret that as the Spirit of the Most High. But it was the Most High that was blowing into the man's nostrils, and he was blowing literally air. We've been breathing air ever since. So it's just like if you have somebody that has stopped breathing, then you give them what? Mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, and you blow air into their mouth or their nostrils if they're a baby to kickstart their lungs again. Because the lungs have stopped. And if you breathe into them, they are, you know, they're a muscle, they remember. And this is what they do. So you can actually start them to breathing again. Okay? The lungs on the moment. You don't think about breathing. Nobody sits there, unless they're having a hard time breathing, nobody sits there and thinks about themselves taking a breath and inhaling and exhaling. It's something that your lungs just do, just like your heart just beats. So if the heart stops, they can do what? They can shock your heart and start it back up. Okay, and if your lungs stop breathing, then they can breathe into them, and the lungs will, if they're, you know, not full or if they're not just completely dead, they can start breathing on their own again. Here is Adam. And Adam has never taken a breath. And the Most High needs to kickstart him. So he breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. Okay. And so, and man became a living soul. So what was he before then? He was just a soul, and he wasn't living. He was there on the ground, but he hadn't started breathing yet. And so the Most High breathed into his nostrils air, and he became a living soul. Okay? But the Spirit of Elohim did this. Go to Exodus chapter 31. Let's get verses 2 through 3. Exodus chapter 31. And we're actually going to get verses 2 through 6. 2 through 6. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, my sister. See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of Elohim in wisdom and in understanding. Now, breath doesn't have wisdom. So it's not something that he breathes into him. Breath doesn't have wisdom. This is talking about literally the Spirit of Elohim himself. Because air doesn't know anything. Air is just what? Air. So when he fills him with the Spirit of Elohim in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work gold and silver and brass, and in cutting stones to set them in a carving timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. So the Most High put his spirit inside of Bezaleel, and he gained knowledge from the Spirit of the Most High. He gained wisdom. He gained understanding because the Spirit of the Most High had entered into him. Okay, and you know, it don't take that much of the Most High. So the Most High himself put a piece of himself, just like he put a piece of himself in Moses, in the prophet. Okay, so we got to understand that he filled Bezaleel with part of himself, and he gained all these attributes, wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship. He didn't have to learn it. It was given to him. Excuse me. When he was filled by the Spirit of the Most High. Judges chapter 14. The book of Judges chapter 14. In verse 6. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. And the Spirit of Elohim came mightily upon him. The Spirit of Elohim. The Spirit of Yah. As it says in your Bible, it says the Spirit of the what? Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That literally means his name. The Spirit of Yah came mightily upon him. And he rent his clothes. And would have rent a kid. That's a baby goat or a baby sheep. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told his father, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Now, this is Samson, and the Spirit of the Most High is come upon him. And he's filled with the Spirit of the Most High, and he gets strong. He gets superhuman strength. He really becomes like Superman. Okay, and he tears his clothes. This is the Spirit of the Most High entering him and working through him. And it's literally the Spirit of the Most High in him. Okay? So we want to understand that the Spirit of the Most High, when he comes upon you, he can give you wisdom. He can give you knowledge. He can give you understanding of things that you have no natural understanding of. Then he can also give you what? Power. Strength. Right? Like true strength, where you could pick up a car. Because I truly believe that Samson could have picked up a car over his head when you hear about how he pushed the pillars apart in the Philistine temple. And these pillars weren't anything small. They weighed way more than a car, way more than a couple of two or three or four cars. So we got to understand that when the Spirit of the Most High comes on us, we are able to do greater things, but it's up to him how he wants us to operate. If he don't give you greater strength, because he don't want you to have it. If he don't give you wisdom, it's however he is going to use you as a vessel. He could give you discernment, give you vision. He could speak through you, heal through you. These are all the different gifts. Well, right now we're reading about how he gave one man, you know, knowledge and understanding and wisdom to do all kind of, you know, works with whether it was wood or stone or you know, something that it would take three men usually to three separate men to master it, you say, hey, I'm a stone worker, or no, I'm a woodworker, or no, I work with ores. But this man had all those skills in one man, and then he taught it to other people. Here we got Samson, and the Spirit of the Most High comes mightily on him and enters him, and he gets super strong. Okay? Let's see who the Bible identifies as the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Now, we've already read this earlier, but we're going to read it again, and then we're going to jump down to Acts 16, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. So Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Now, I don't think I sent you guys this document, did I?
I don't think so.
All right, so I think I need to send it out to you guys. That way I won't have to say if you have it, because I have the verses right in the document.
Okay.
Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Now, Ananias don't see a Holy Ghost. He don't see a Holy Spirit. And where it says ghost, I'm just going to say spirit, because that's the word I prefer. Ghost and spirit are the same, but when we typically think about a ghost, we think about somebody dead that once was alive, dead walking around. Okay. We want to, I'm just going to say spirit instead. Okay. Ananias doesn't see the Holy Spirit. He sees Peter. And he's talking to Peter. But Peter says, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto Elohim. So who is the Holy Spirit? Elohim. He's not a spirit on the side of Elohim. He's not another spirit in conjunction with Elohim. This is Elohim himself. That's why I said you have lied to Elohim. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? In your Bible, the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Spirit. You have not lied unto men, but unto Elohim. So when people try to make the Holy Spirit something other than Elohim, oh, he lied to the angel, and the angel was acting on the part of Elohim. No, the Most High said, in the latter days I will do what? I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I'm going to do a work that I used to reserve for the kings and the prophets. Now I'm going to pour it out on your handmaidens and your hand servants, your bondmaidens and your bondservants, on your sons and your daughters, on you. Okay? So when we are dealing with one another, and as I said, if we are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of the Most High, the Most High himself, then you got to understand that you may not be dealing with me, and I may not be dealing with you. When we're dealing with one another, Ananias thought he was dealing with Peter. But who was he really dealing with? He was dealing with the Ruach HaKodesh inside of Peter. You're not lying to Peter, you're lying to Elohim. So each and every one of us has to be very careful how we deal with one another. Because, again, I say, this is one of those lessons that is the most important lesson that I can teach. that you understand who the Ruach HaKodesh is, who the Holy Spirit is. Okay? Acts chapter 16, verse 6 and 7. So let's go to Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit, this is the same Holy Spirit, suffered them not. Don't go there. And so you got to understand that the Holy Spirit, he will guide you literally. And he will tell you, you can go over there, but you can't go over there. You can go in here, but you can't go in here. I want us to see what's going on here. It says that they were forbidden by the Ruach HaKodesh, by the Ruach HaKodesh, to preach the word in Asia. They were forbidden by the Most High Elohim. Don't go over there. And after they were coming to my Asia, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Elohim, suffered them not. Don't go into Bithynia. I don't want you going there. This is the Most High directing them. This is the Holy Spirit directing them and saying, go here, go there, don't go here, don't go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, my sister. Know you not that you are the temple, the dwelling place of Elohim, and the Spirit of Elohim dwelleth in you? The Spirit of God. Wait a minute. What spirit are you told that you're supposed to be filled with? You said it says that you're supposed to be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. It says, know you not that you are the temple of Elohim and that the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you? So let's wait a minute. Let's count this. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Elohim. How many spirits are you supposed to have in you?
One.
One. Exactly. And that spirit is the Spirit of Elohim. That's the only, so those other names, titles, are titles for this one spirit, the Spirit of Elohim. So let's read this verse again. Know ye not that you are the temple of Elohim and that the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you? Everywhere else you're told that you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Somehow people make, I don't see how they can read these verses and come up with the Holy Spirit as Michael. I don't know how they can come up with the Holy Spirit as Gabriel. I don't know how they can come up with the Holy Spirit is just a separate spirit outside of the Most High. When he's telling you right here, the Spirit of Elohim dwells in you. Well, when did the Spirit of Elohim get in you? When you were filled by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so it's imperative that we understand that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Elohim and that we are supposed to be the temple of Elohim. That's what tabernacles is all about. Spiritually. That's what Messiah did when he came off the cross. Said that the veil in the temple was what? Rent. It was torn in two. And the Most High said, I'm no longer meeting you here. Now I'm going to dwell in you. Big difference, because when we're reading about the tabernacle and we're reading about the sacrifices, the Most High says that he would come and meet them above the what? Mercy seat, right? And there was a curtain there. And he wouldn't even dwell in the high priest. He dwelt in Moses, but that high priest office, he didn't dwell in the high priest. The priest was, they were the go-between. Now he's saying, you know what? Because as I said, if when you study the scriptures, you will find that this infilling of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of the Most High, in the past was reserved for the prophets and the kings. The priests didn't even have the Holy Spirit. Weren't filled by the Ruach of the Most High. The high priest Aaron, his sons, none of them. He says, I'm doing new work. So he says, now I'm making you, I used to dwell in the temple and in the tabernacle above the mercy seat when Messiah came and died on the cross. He says, now I'm making it to where the new covenant is. I'm no longer going to dwell above the mercy seat. I'm no longer going to dwell in this room. I'm going to dwell in you. Change. The book of Acts. Let's go to, we see that the Most High says we are his temple. And that's why I ask people, if you would not walk into the temple, if there was a temple, a building, if you wouldn't walk into that building with a cigarette in your hand or a bottle of booze hanging out your mouth or a joint or doing anything else, why would you do it to yourself when you are the temple? You are the place that the Most High wants to reside, where he wants to live. See, we will have a building, and I know none of us would walk up in a building and light up a cigarette. And say, oh, here's the church building, or here is the meeting place. None of us would walk in there and light up a cigarette. None of us would walk in there and light up a joint. None of us would walk in there and turn up a bottle of booze. None of us will walk in there and be trying to fornicate. And the Most High says, I've made you my temple. And we'll read a verse which he'll say that if you defile the temple of the Most High Elohim, which you are, him shall you destroy. Him, you shall he destroy. Now, again, we're saying we're trying to learn to fear him. Do we believe what he says that you are the temple? And do you believe that the spirit of Elohim dwells in you or wants to dwell in you? And if you believe that, then if he says that if you defile his temple, he's going to destroy you. Do you fear him enough to stop doing anything that you might be doing? Understanding that the way he's looking at you now. So I pray we can hear this because, you know, I know we can justify some stuff. But I want you to understand what Most High Elohim is saying in his word. You are my temple. You are my dwelling place. And if you defile my dwelling place, you make it unclean, then I will destroy you. We're going to read that. Okay, so you don't say Brother Miles is saying this. Because he's not playing about any of this. I'm going to come and I'm going to dwell in you and I'm going to make my habitation with you. And then you won't keep the place clean. when I told you, even in Torah, be thee holy for I am holy, that you might be able to discern clean from what? Unclean. So we can't make ourselves the exception because the Most High has already spoken concerning this thing. Let's continue. Was the Holy Spirit upon Yeshua during his earthly ministry? Was the Holy Spirit upon him? Was it in him? Because see, the Most High, from the very beginning, was in Messiah, because he is Messiah in flesh. But he needed to give a sign so that number one, John could announce him. Number two, that he could start his ministry. Number three, that he might be an example for us. That we understand this is how it's going to happen the same way. So let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Now, this is Messiah speaking. Okay. The Spirit of Yah is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of Yah. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them were in the synagogue, were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So he, you know, if they had studied the scriptures, they would have known who he was when he read those verses from Isaiah. They would have known that, wait a minute, we know that this is talking about the one to come. We know that this is talking about the Messiah. When he tells them in these days, the scriptures are fulfilled in your ears, they should have known who he was. Okay? To Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And if you have it, when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. How Elohim anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Ruach HaKodesh and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for Elohim was with him. Now, let's go to John chapter 14. And we're going to, what is the Holy Spirit called? What are other names for the Holy Spirit? John chapter 14 and verse 17. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Now we're going to see even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knows him. I want us to pay attention to this. But you know him. Think about who's talking. This is Messiah talking. But you know him. How do they know him? For he dwells with you. He's living with you, so you know him. And shall be in you. Now, you would have thought that they would have asked some questions. But they took this as face value. But I want us to pick up on this word. Now, he's called the what? Spirit of truth. It's another name for the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him. How did they know him? For he was dwelling with them. For he dwelleth with you. But they don't equate this to Messiah. And shall be in you. The scripture says, if Christ be in you. So he's dwelling with them. And he's giving them a clue. He says, but and shall be in you. How's he going to get in me? His teachings? His word? No, this is literally by the Spirit. As I said before, man, and I have to find this verse so that we won't say Brother Miles said it. Man is a spirit. Okay? But we are a spirit that is designed so that the spirit, another spirit, can unite with our spirit. And if we make that spirit not the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of the Most High, if we choose to do wickedness and evil, unclean spirits, demonic spirits can join with your spirit because your spirit is designed that way. The Most High made his spirit designed that he could unite with us, be in us, and we become one. Two entities. Spiritually one. And the Spirit of the Most High can talk to you. Being in you. Being united with you. John chapter 15. Another name for the Holy Spirit. John chapter 15, verse 26. And when you have it, if you say amen. In John 15 and 26. All right, amen. But when the Comforter is come, amen. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth. Now, we just heard he was called the Spirit of Truth in John chapter 14. But now he's saying that the same Spirit is called the Comforter. He says he's going to send it to you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceeded from the Father. He shall testify of me. Now, the Spirit of Truth proceeded from the Father because he said, I'm going to send my Spirit. I'm going to pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Let's go to, did I get this in this right here? Give me a hot second. I want to set this up a different way for understanding, for clarity's sake. I think I want to go to John chapter 1, but I want to go further down in 1, because I want you to hear what John says about Messiah, because John's job is to announce the Messiah. And let me get these verses. Hold on. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 1. The book of John, chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 29. The book of John, chapter 1, and verse 29. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Yeshua coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of Elohim, which takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, John is 6 months older than Messiah. But John knows who Messiah is and knows that he existed as Elohim prior to John ever being coming into existence. So he says he was before me. And I knew him not. Now, this is his cousin. And if I had read the verses above, he would give you some other description. He'd always say, and I knew him not. What did John not know about him? I didn't know he was the Messiah. I grew up with him. He's my cousin. And when I went out on my ministry, maybe they lost touch or whatever, but I didn't know. I knew in the womb when Mary was pregnant, but then the Most High sort of cut that off. And John keeps saying, and I knew him not. I didn't know he was the Messiah. Okay? So let's read this. Starting verse 29 again. The next day John seeth Yeshua coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of Elohim, which takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. I only knew that the Messiah should be made known to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Okay? So I was told to go baptize, to baptize Israel and to get them ready, to prepare them for the coming of Elohim. This is what Isaiah says, that he was to prepare them for the coming of Elohim, their Elohim. He says, but I knew him not. But I know I was told to go, what, baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me baptizing with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending. Here is a sign, John. You need to know when it's time to announce Messiah. Here's your sign. Go baptizing, and when this man comes up to you, and you see the Spirit of the Most High descend upon him and stay there, this is, let's see what he says. And upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Who baptizes you with the Holy Spirit? Messiah. Is he baptizing you with somebody else's spirit? Well, we know it as the Spirit of the Father, but who is Messiah? Messiah himself is the Father in flesh. So he's giving his own spirit out. He baptizes with his own spirit. It's the self-same spirit. But for us to understand and for John to understand and for John to announce his ministry, John was told, go baptize. And who you spirit descend upon in the form of a dove, descend upon and stay there, the same is he that baptizes with the Spirit of Elohim. So Elohim is baptizing with his own spirit. But in the flesh, he says, I want you to know me as the Son of Elohim. But I'm baptizing with my own spirit. And my own spirit is not different than, you know, it's the Ruach HaKodesh. It is my spirit. So John says, I didn't know who he was. It wasn't revealed to me who he was until I saw the sign. And the one that told me to go baptize him said, the one that you see the Spirit descend and remain upon, he is the one that baptizes with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Holy Spirit. So Messiah is the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit, but then he tells you, when we read in John chapter 15, he said it's going to come from the Father. Then it's got to tell you who Messiah is. He is the Father. But he says, through this position of Son, I'm going to give out my Spirit. I'm not giving out my Spirit from the position of Father. I'm giving it out from the position of Son. He's the one that's going to choose you. He's the one that's going to baptize you from this position. It's me. But I'm doing it from this position. Okay? And I'm begetting you from this position. But in the end, you know who I am. Are you supposed to know? I am the Father in flesh. In flesh, you're going to know me as the Son, the only begotten of the Father, because that's how I want you to know me. But from that position, I'm going to baptize you with the Ruach HaKodesh. And I'm telling you that it's coming from the Father, because this is my will. Above this job that I'm doing in the flesh. So know that they're one and the same. Messiah baptizes with the Ruach HaKodesh. He's the one that fills you with the Ruach HaKodesh. That's what verse 33 told us. Okay. Let's go back to John chapter 6. So we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of Truth. We have the Comforter. Okay. Now, we're going to find out, because Muhammad from the, well, he don't claim this. Muslims claim this, that Muhammad is the Comforter. Huh. And we even have some men running around today talking about they are the Comforter. But when we read this, we're going to see just how blasphemous they are. Okay. So let's go to John chapter 6 and verse 44. And when you have it, if you'll say amen. We're going to look at what are the works of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. Now, again, Messiah himself, the Most High in flesh, wanted us to deal with him from the standpoint of the Son. So when you go back into Torah, never will you find the Elohim of the Bible saying that he has a father. You will hear him say that there are sons of Elohim, but he himself will never say he has a father. As a matter of fact, he says the opposite. I don't know any other Elohim, but I created the world alone and by myself. But then he tells you he created the world through Christ. But it was the Christ that he was to become. From that position, from the position of flesh and blood and this environment that he doesn't dwell in, but that he was coming into. He says, I created it from that position. I knew I was going to prepare me a body. I knew that I would come into this world. And I created this world for my pleasure, that I might enter into it. He created us for his pleasure, that he might dwell in us. Literally, I don't want to be in that box. I don't want to be above the mercy seat. I want to be in you. So no man can come to Messiah except the Father which has sent him, draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now, again, we read these verses and people will think that there's what? A multiplicity of them. That there's multiple. There's the Father and there's the Son and there's the Holy Spirit. But this is written this way so that you will have to search it out and Elohim will have to reveal it to you. That's why you got so many people believing in a Trinity. And then some of them, you know, they say, well, I can see where the Holy Spirit is God himself. So then they believe in two gods, Messiah and the Most High Elohim as the Holy Spirit. But it's never revealed to them that the Most High himself came in flesh. And that's what he had promised Israel. That's what he had promised Adam and Eve. And so everybody can't see this. Even reading it, they can't see it. But the way it's written such that if you don't really search them out, you will not find it. Okay, let's continue. John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 8. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. And you know what? I think I probably need verse 7 to this as well, reading this. John 16 and 8. Okay, yeah, let's start at verse 7, okay? Because we need to understand this. John saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Messiah and stay, okay? And now listen to what Messiah says in this verse 6 and 7, 7 and 8, I mean. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, it's important for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, he told us earlier that it would be sent by the Father. He said, I will send him unto you. John said, this is the one that baptizes you with the Ruach. So he says, it's important that I go away. Because if I don't, the Comforter will not come unto you. The Spirit of the Most High will not come unto you. Because while I'm in this flesh, that's where the Most High is dwelling. He's in his flesh and in heaven, but he's manifesting in the flesh. He says, so I can't send him unto you while I'm still in the world. Okay, verse 8. And when he is come, the Comforter, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So when he says, I go to my Father, again, Messiah wants us to have a relationship. And everything that he does, it's to point us at the Father. Because in the Torah, we only dealt with the Father. And so Messiah is coming to do the work. He says, everything is done through me, but he's really pointing us back to the relationship that he wants us to have as children of the Father. Even though he's the one giving us the Ruach HaKodesh, so he's the one I won't even say that. I won't even say it that way. He's giving us the Ruach. He's begetting us. But he says, you're going to be the sons of Elohim, because that's who he is. So it's convoluted intentionally, because you got to search the scriptures to know who he is. Anyway, let's continue. I'll stop beating up on that. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. The book of Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 37, and probably get 38 as well. Now, when they heard this, now we're talking about Acts, chapter 2. This is the day that the Holy Spirit is released into the world to fill the common man. Before this time, the prophets, the kings. Acts chapter 2 is the opening of the kingdom and the infilling of the Ruach HaKodesh into the common man, the bondmaiden, the handmaiden, the bond servant, children, not just the king and the prophets, okay? So when these holy men, devout Jews from out of every nation, heard the testimony of Messiah and how Israel had killed him, the Messiah, says that they were pricked in their hearts. Their hearts burst from understanding that, wait a minute, our Messiah has been here, and we missed the time of our visitation, and you killed him. So they're pricked in their hearts. And when they heard this, they were pricked. Their hearts burst. It's like this prick is actually not like a needle prick. This prick is like that Roman spear, that lance, that long pole, that when they were on a horse, they would run into you with it. If you were on the ground, they hit you in the chest with this big, thick stick, it will bust your heart. That's how it killed you. It didn't penetrate. It literally bust your heart through compression. They were pricked in their hearts. That means that their hearts burst. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we got to do? Let's go to the book of John, chapter 14. Because they asked, what do they have to do? And we know they were told to repent and be baptized. But they were convicted by the Ruach HaKodesh. It's another one of his works. They heard the story, and they were convicted by the Ruach, by the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, when these men are out here talking about they are the Comforter, who are they saying that they are? They're saying that they are the Most High.
Spirit, yeah.
That's blasphemous. And people, you know, be going along with it and be fellowshipping with them and, you know, part of the organization. And I'm like, how could you be a part of an organization that is built upon blasphemy? The scriptures tell us who the Comforter is. But see, because they believe that the Holy Ghost may be an angel, maybe just another spirit, they don't have a problem saying that. But when you know who the Ruach HaKodesh is, the Holy Spirit, then you wouldn't make no claims like that. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, how is the Comforter going to bring you into all remembrance, everything that was said? Was he there recording it? No, he told you earlier, the Comforter is with you. He's dwelling with you and shall be in you. The Comforter is the same spirit that Messiah has, his own spirit. That's how he's going to tell them all things that he taught them. It's his own spirit. But he's talking about it like it's a what, third person? John chapter 16. The book of John, chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now, I told you that we read earlier where the Holy Spirit was directing the men. Go, you can go over here. Can't go into Mysia. You can't go into Bithynia. Go preach the gospel over here. John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, we know that the Spirit of truth and the Comforter and the Holy Spirit are all one in what? Same. Just another name for the Holy Spirit. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now, again, this is so that we understand. When he says he's not speaking of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. Now, from the position of the Father, he's saying, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. And I'm going to show you what I'm doing. So when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine. And he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. book of Acts, chapter 4. The book of Acts, chapter 4, in verse 31. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, my sister. And when they had prayed, now they are in the jail. The place was taken where they assembled together. Now, I don't think they're in the jail at this point. I think they're at this house. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of Elohim with boldness. Now, one of the things that you got to understand about the disciples when you study them, they all usually acted out of unbelief. When Messiah was taken, what happened to them? They scattered, right? They weren't bold. They weren't saying, you leave my Messiah alone, you leave my master alone. They split. Peter followed them afar off. But now that they are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, they speak the word of Elohim with what? Boldness. Because they've received power. They've received understanding. They now know that what Messiah was saying was 100% true. And they're true believers now. While he walked with them, they weren't true believers. And they weren't getting the message. After he'd been fed 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people, and the bread just appears and the fish just appears out of nowhere, just fills the basket and the basket keeps filling up. And next time it comes to feed the people, they still talk about we ain't got no money. Didn't have money before. Who do men say that I am? Some say you're a prophet. Some say you John the Baptist. Some say you Elias. But who do you say that I am? He had to check to see if they were hearing anything. You are the son of Elohim, the son of the living Elohim. And they still didn't know who he was. So then Peter asked, show us the Father. Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. Messiah just looked at him and said, have I been so long with you that you don't know me? How sayest thou, show us the Father? You speaking to him. He told them directly. You speaking to him. How do people read the Bible and don't pick up on that? They'll make it something else. Anyway. When the disciples received power, they received understanding. And when he was in the world with them, they couldn't see him for who he was. And even after he told them, I got to go to Jerusalem and be put to death, they didn't really believe him. You know, this was like we believe, but we only believe so far. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible for those people who are struggling. with who they have to be filled with. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, and when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you, my sister. For as many as are led by the Spirit of Elohim, they are the sons of Elohim. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, because that's how they were operating, out of fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption. The spirit there is capitalized. It's talking about the first spirit is, you see there, is talking about it's talking about an emotion, a mentality. But when you see it capitalized here, it's talking about you have received the Spirit, talking about the Spirit of the Most High. So you have received the emotion or the mentality of fear, but you have received the literal Spirit of the Most High of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit of the Most High, the Holy Spirit. So when you see the Spirit, that's another name for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. Told you, we have a spirit. We are a spirit. That we are the children of Elohim. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of Elohim. And joint heirs with Christ. So be that we suffer with him. People want, they want to get into the kingdom. They want to become a son of Elohim. They want the spirit of Elohim to bear witness with our spirit, but they don't want to suffer with him. Do you know how many people come against me for saying that Messiah is the Most High in flesh? How many organizations come against me? How many just people, because they've been taught something different, okay? But you got to suffer with him. Ain't nobody throwing no rocks at me yet. Ain't nobody coming to crucify me yet. But I'm not saying that they never will. If we do what the Most High tells us to do, we definitely need his, what, protection. Because the world will come against you. Because it don't know him. Can't see him. And then they will make up something about him. For the Spirit of the Most High itself, or the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of Elohim. I told you before, or if I haven't, I'll tell you now. The Spirit of Elohim in me will testify of the Spirit of Elohim in you. What did it just say? Where it bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of Elohim. But it'll also bear witness with your spirit that that's me over there too. And that's me right there too. And that's not me. I would be in church, and I would have brought somebody to church with me, or they were coming, you know, with me, and they were trying to get filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, and they would see somebody in the church. And they'd be like, why are you looking at them like that? I said, I don't know what look I got on my face, but the Spirit of the Most High is telling me that that's not him. That's a mimicking spirit. It's not him. But I would have, you know, I didn't know it, but I would have a strange look on my face, strange enough for them to know that, why are you looking at them like that? And I would tell them, the Most High said, that's not him. And so a lot of people will say that they have the Ruach, but trust me, the Ruach will testify of itself That's me and that's not me. In that person. So he bears witness with your spirit so that you can know that you know that you know that you know. That we are the children of Elohim. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of Elohim and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So the Most High says, you want this? You want to have the same glory as Messiah? You want to sit in judgment with him? You want to sit on a throne with him? Because he says you're going to sit in the throne with him. That you must have suffered with him also. To suffer like him, then when we go to Revelation chapter 20, you know, talk about the souls of them who were beheaded for the word of Yah and for the testimony of Christ or Mashiach. Beheaded, killed. They suffered with him. They had the same fate that he did. They died like he died. But we don't want to hear that. We just want the throne. We want the glory, but we don't want to have to pay for it or work for it. But he's telling us in the scriptures, if so be that we suffer, we will be joint heirs with him, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. All these died, were willing to die for the testimony of Christ and for the word of Yah, for the gospel, for the kingdom. You be glorified together. All these receive the same glory, rulership. But we got to be filled with the Ruach. Got to be led by the Ruach. By the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. You see, after we know these things, and we've been reading about that we're supposed to fear Elohim, that we're supposed to obey his voice, it should be more serious, more clearer in our heads. The book of Romans chapter 8, and we're going to get verse 11 and then verse 23. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, and when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you, my sister. But if the spirit of him that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you. Anybody tell me who raised Yeshua from the dead?
The Father.
The Father. Thank you. If the spirit of the Father that raised up Yeshua from the dead dwell in you. Wait a minute, you got to have the spirit of the Father dwelling in you. We know that the Spirit of the Father is the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. He that raised up Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, from the dead, shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies. How? By his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So, who is it telling you the Holy Spirit is? If the Spirit of him, of the Father, that raised up Yeshua from the dead, dwell in you, he, the Father, that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies. How? By his, the Father's Spirit that dwells in you. And if the Father's Spirit don't dwell in you, If the Holy Spirit don't dwell in you, then you are none of his. Because it's by his Spirit that dwells in you, that he fills you with, that you're going to be raised, resurrected. This, the Spirit of the Father does not even leave you in the grave. You become bone. Guess who's still there? Guess who's part of is still there? The Spirit of the Father. The Holy Spirit is still in the grave with you, in your bones. He don't leave. Because that's by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's how he's going to give you life again. That's how he's going to raise you up again. If I don't find my Spirit in that grave, in those bones, that one wasn't mine. Hear what he's saying. The book of Romans chapter 8, drop down to verse 23. Drop down to verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is the first fruits of the Spirit. We get that love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit or to come, the redemption of our bodies. Now we have the Ruach HaKodesh within us. But this is not the body that we're going to resurrect to. And see, a lot of people think they're going to resurrect to this body. But the scripture says that the Most High is going to give you a body as it pleases him. We'll have to get that so that we understand. Because see, people think they're coming back looking like they're looking now. You're not coming back looking like you're looking now. He's going to give you a body as it pleases him. Now, understand that you are in seed form right now. So can anybody tell me, does the apple seed look like the apple tree?
I don't think
it doesn't.
No.
It's just a seed, right? The apple seed doesn't look like the apple tree. The apple tree is the expressed form of the seed. The seed is the condensed form of the tree. You are in condensed form right now. And when he calls you back and raises you and gives you a body as it pleases him, you're going to come back in your expressed form.
Amen.
You don't look like you're going to look when he raises you. But that's something that's just a little tidbit for you. You are in condensed form right now. That's why he says, beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, but it does not yet appear what we shall look like. But we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, or in his expressed form. See, when Messiah walked this earth, you didn't see him in his expressed form. You saw him in his condensed form. You didn't see him as Elohim. He says, but you're going to see him like he is. You're going to see him in his expressed form. And we shall be like him. And we shall be in our, what, expressed form. So you don't know how you're going to look. You think you're looking in the mirror and looking at yourself. But you're really not. You're looking at a condensed form of yourself. So just like when that apple seed comes out of the ground, it don't look like the seed anymore. It looks like the tree. You're not going to look like you. Let's move on. Different lesson. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit of the Father, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit of the Father itself, maketh intercessions for us with groaning, and which cannot be uttered. Sometimes you praying and all of these things, oh God. You don't know what to pray for. And sometimes you can't even say anything, and the one who's interceding for you is the Holy Spirit. Speaks. Let's read that again. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings. You just hear a groan, which cannot be uttered. Probably some groans you can't even hear. They're on the inside. And he that searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of Elohim. So you need something. You don't know what it is. You don't know what you need the Most High to do for you. But the Spirit of the Most High within you knows. And the Spirit of the Most High within you intercedes on your behalf. This one don't know that they need just a little bit more faith. This one don't know that they need to be a little bit more forgiving. But he intercedes on our behalf. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to get verses 4 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Now these are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Yah, same Master. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same Elohim which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. To profit with all means for everyone. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And to another the word of knowledge. And by the same Spirit to another faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the same self-spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the Most High gives us the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of faith, the spirit of the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits. That's a wicked spirit over there. I can just see it on. That's why I say that discerning of spirits will also discern whether the spirit of the Most High is in you. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. See, these are gifts. And these are different than when you first get filled by the spirit of Elohim. When he says, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak in other tongues. This is not that same tongues. This is a ministering tongues. The gift of tongues. That you can speak in other languages. And that you could also have the gift, because he said it gives you to you severally. You could also have the gift of the interpretation of tongues. But if you only have the gift of tongues, then you have to ask for an interpreter. And if you're just praying to yourself, not in the gift of tongues, but praying in the spirit, he said, that's a conversation between you and Elohim. That's not for the minister to everybody. But all these work that one and self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So we need to ask the Most High for our gifts. And if we already have them, then we need to start being put in positions where we can utilize them. Because if we are filled with his spirit, he's going to give us one or more of these gifts. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Let's do one more, and we'll call it a night for tonight. We have to pick this up again next week. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 4. And when you have it, you should say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. And we're looking at works of the Holy Spirit. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 4. Now, this is on the day of Pentecost, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, when people are speaking in tongues and they are intentionally trying to speak in tongues, I said, you're out of order. Because the scriptures tell you that you're supposed to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. This is the Most High. So what are you really doing if you're doing this on your own? Even the Most High will make you speak in tongues to have a conversation with him, that A and B conversation. And so you have to let it happen when he unctions you, as he gives you utterance. The book of Acts, chapter 10. The the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 45 and 46. And when you have them, if you say amen.
Amen.
And they of the circumcision. Now, this is Peter. Peter sees a vision. Cornelius, you know, the Roman centurion, his alms have come up before the Most High. He receives a visit. The angel tells him to go and send for Peter. He goes and he sends for Peter. Peter returns with him to Joppa, to this man's house, to Cornelius' house. But there were some other Hebrews that came along with him that were believers. But they came with him to this Gentile's house. And it says, and they of the circumcision which believed. You'd have to go to Acts chapter 11 to find out that these were Hebrews. I think it says that there were six of them. They are the ones of the circumcision that which believe, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, six of them, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Now, they're astonished. They're surprised. They are in shock. What? The Most High is pouring out the Holy Spirit on them as well? But how did they know? How did they know that they had received the Holy Spirit? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. Then said Peter, can any man forbid water? Now, how are we going to not baptize them, seeing that they have received the Holy Ghost just like we did? They received the Holy Spirit just like we did. How did they know? Or we heard them speak with tongues. See, you can't see when the Spirit of the Most High enters someone. He's invisible. And unless he shows himself, you can't see it. So nobody's going to say, well, I saw the Spirit of the Most High entered into this person. Now, I can't say nobody. He may give somebody that gift. So I can't say nobody. But the truth of the matter is, most of us don't see when the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, enters into somebody. Peter couldn't see it happen. The six Hebrews that came with him couldn't see it. See the Most High enter into these Gentiles. That's why he said they were astonished at the gift of the Holy Spirit that was poured out on the Gentiles. Then they knew, the Most High knew that you're going to say, well, how would you, if you're really studying and you want to know, how did they know? I ain't never seen the Spirit of the Most High in the church enter into somebody. I never seen him floating around the room, his presence, or anything like that. So how did they know that these men, these people were filled with the Spirit of the Most High?
Because they spoke in tongues.
Because they spoke in tongues. That's how they knew. Just like they did. For we heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. So when people are talking about, you know, talking against speaking in tongues, I'm only going to say it to you this way. You want to know that you know. And so you need to let the Most High have his way. See, a lot of the times, and I can just speak, I'm just going to speak for myself as a witness. The Most High had been trying to fill me with his Ruach. And I could feel myself, the urge to want to speak and say something, and I would hold it back. I wouldn't submit myself. Until I did. Then I'm praising the Most High. And what's in my mind and what I want to speak is not what was coming out of my mouth. And I had no control of it. Once I let it happen, I start speaking. But I was in my mind, I was saying one thing, but what was coming out of my mouth was something else. And I couldn't even understand what I was saying. But I didn't fight it anymore. I just let it come. Then I knew. Just like Peter them knew. Because I asked the Most High, I want to have the same experience they had. I want to have the same experience I read about in this book. I don't want somebody telling me, oh, you got it. And he did it for me. But I had to submit myself. I can't see if the Most High, when he, if he's entered into you. You can't see if the Most High has entered into me. Unless he gives you the gift of what? Discernment. He's given me that gift, the gift of discernment. And a couple of other gifts. So, Peter them, and we'll wrap up after this, Peter them couldn't tell if Cornelius them had received the Holy Spirit. They didn't see something come. The sign that they were given, they were the unbelievers. Not that they were the unbelievers in Elohim, they were the unbelievers that the Gentiles would receive what? The Ruach HaKodesh. So the Most High gave them the sign, the same sign that he gave them on the day of Pentecost. Because this is 10 years later. The same sign that he gave them on the day of Pentecost when they started speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Cornelius and his family start speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And each and every person, that's not the gift of tongues. It's what I call, the scripture don't call it this, but I call it this, your birth tongue, when you are born again. So when you are in your prayer, when you are praising the Most High, praise him, but I would also say, if we haven't received this, ask for it first, because he says he'll give it to you if you ask, if you diligently seek him, he'll give it to you. But then let him have his way. Submit yourself to him. Don't be hard-headed and stiff-necked like I was, because I was. And I praise and I thank the Most High that he was merciful and lenient with me. I praise him for that because I know he didn't have to be. And he didn't have to be saying, you know what, I will not forever call you. He could have just said, you know what, I'm done with you. You just stiff-necked and hard-hearted and I'm not calling you anymore. So this thing is real. On next week, we will continue in this matter, because without this, without being born of the Spirit, he tells you, you are none of his. And this is an area where I would say that we don't want to, I would not want to take a chance and not have this happen. Because I'm going to tell you something, when it happened to me, my witness, my walk changed. My understanding of things even started to change even more so, but
yeah.
What it did for my faith, because I wasn't operating, I didn't have to operate really. Once this happens to you, you don't really have to operate out of faith. Why? Because you've seen, you've experienced. I don't have to believe this out of faith. I know it now.
I know it. Amen. Know it.
You know it. And it's a different walk. It's a different understanding. It's, you know,
mm-hmm.
Nobody can move me off of this because it's not something I believe. If you just believe it, somebody can change your mind. Somebody can convince you of something else. But when it's happened to you, then you know that you know.
That you know that you know.
Amen. So this is what every person has to come to this place. And they have to, it's a matter of submission. Submitting to the will of the Most High. Submitting and allowing your faith to allow you to go there. And once you allow your faith to take you there, then you don't need your faith anymore because you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're not operating out of faith. You're operating out of knowing. Faith is the substance of things what? Hopeful.
Hopeful.
And the evidence of things not yet what?
Seen.
But if you've done it, you've seen it.
Amen.
And you don't have to hope for it anymore.
Amen.
So that's what it does for you. And that's what you see the difference in all the disciples, because once it happened to them and they received power and they received these gifts, they operated from a whole different perspective. They were no longer cowards about the word. They weren't running toward, running away from trouble. They were running toward it.
Oh, man.
You know, so it's important, like I said, of any lessons that I teach, this is the most important. Because with this, everything else will fall into place. With this, we can walk in authority. We don't walk in fear. With this, we can believe further. If the Most High will do this, then this other stuff in His Word must be true. He'll do stuff too. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for your gift of salvation. We thank you for being willing to lower yourself to our level, to come as a man, to pay the price for us, and to make a way where there was no way for us.
Yeah.
And that you set salvation in front of us. He said, choose life. Father, you one-upped us. Not only did you make a way for us to get out of our sin, but you said that you would make us your children. and that we could call you Father.
Hmm.
By right, because you begat us with your Spirit. And you made us your children. Father, we thank you for just looking down on us and giving us an opportunity. It's up to each one of us to accept it and to walk in it.
Yeah.
Father, where we lack faith, where we lack belief, increase our faith and our belief.
And our knowledge, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us not walk in doubt. But let us receive what you have given and made for us, what you have done for us. Father, impart your Spirit. Give us a double portion. Give us a double portion of what you put on Elijah. That we might be equipped to do the work. That we might bring your signs and your wonders and your miracles. That we might draw all men unto you by your Spirit.
Yeah.
In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
And we want to draw all men to the Father. That's why I say, don't be following me, follow Yah.
Yeah.
Follow Yah. We want to draw all men unto him. And, you know, we got some people going through some things. We want to pray for them. That Yah gives them clarity, gives them peace of mind, that he removes all these other binding spirits.
Yeah.
That they might be free, truly free, and not be conflicted in their souls. So right now, Father, bind every unclean spirit. Bind every wicked spirit.
Yeah.
Bind every spirit that is not like you.
Hey, yeah.
Bind them even now. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Your people are tormented, Father. Bind those spirits. Let them not have power. For your children's sake. Amen. All right. We will pick this up, and I need to mark this on my copy so I'll know where we're starting at. We will pick this up next week. And we are still dealing with the Ruach HaKodesh. It is imperative that each and every person receives. And we don't want to just believe it. We want to know it.
Oh, yeah.
So that being said, my sisters, I love you. I pray for you all the time. Remember, I can't love you like Elohim loves you. Shalom.
Shalom.
Amen and amen.
have the women. I think it's amazing. It's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. It's without you, there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. Lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a button. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibration. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always there, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You're always there, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, he lives forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Black Talk Radio. Goodbye.